All right, our next speaker will be talking about the feasibility of cover crops in dryland cropping systems in southwest Colorado and southeast Utah.
Good afternoon. Okay, so that's the title of my presentation, and I'm the PI for the project. However, we have a strong and active team that is expanding. So this is the location of the field trials. So let's see here. So here is where the research center is, where I work. We have two replicated trials at the research center, and we have six on-farm trials, currently active on-farm trials, in Dolores County, southwestern Colorado, and San Juan County, Utah. Half of those trials are replicated. They have two or three strips of replications. So the dryland cropping systems in the project area, it's a tough environment for dryland farming. We have winter wheat fallow is the main crop rotation, wheat bean, wheat safflower or sunflower fallow. We have the yields are pretty low. For the county averages for winter wheat are 20 to 30 bushels per acre. For the dry beans, they're around 400 pounds per acre, so they're quite low compared to eastern Colorado, for instance. Okay, the soils are mostly silty clay or silty clay loam, with the organic matter of 1.5 to 2% in the top 15 centimeters of soil, pH 7 to 8. We have a rolling terrain, and also there is no-till. There's more and more farmers who are practicing no-till, but the norm is still conservation tillage. So there is a real potential for water and wind erosion. Precipitation is erratic, and let's see if I could get to this, and varies a lot from year to year. So at the research center, the 30-year average is almost 16 inches. In general, in the project area, it's about 12 to 16 inches average over long term. So these are the 2 years where we did the study here. You see here, June is our driest month. We get below normal precipitation in March, except for May. We had fairly good precipitation in late fall to winter, and then in July. August of this year was very dry. So in last year, in the first year, 2015-2016, we had almost 12.6 inches. The second year, over average 17, a little over 17 inches. About 40% of the precipitation in our area comes from snow, from moisture. So it's and then also the elevation is 6,500 to 7,000 feet. So the growing season is relatively short compared to the Great Plains. So the challenge is to enhance the sustainability of dryland farming in the project area. So what are some of the solutions or opportunities? So ideally, you'll have permanent vegetation and combine that with grazing, whether it's livestock or we have a lot of deer and elk, so it's really good. Probably the second best thing is no-till in my experience. But there is not enough of that in the project area. Organic farming makes a lot of sense economically, and more and more farmers are getting into it because they don't use much fertilizer or pesticides to begin with, so why not grow organic wheat, for instance? They make 3-4 times more, so it makes a lot of sense. So the next best thing is cover crops, so I think that's what I'm going to talk about. So that's the goal of the project is to determine if and how cover crops can enhance the sustainability of dryland farming in southwestern Colorado and southeast Utah. So the objectives, we have four main objectives: economic, outreach, and impact. I'm going to focus on the agronomic aspects, trying to quantify the effects of cover crops on soil moisture, soil fertility, other soil characteristics, weed control, and the effects on the cash crop. So this is a three-year project that's funded by Western Sera, and it started in summer of 2015. Again, we have six on-farm trials, two crop rotations, wheat fallow, wheat safflower fallow, and three management practices, conservation, tillage, and no-till, and also conventional and organic crop production. So, and two replicated trials at the research center. So we're trying, testing a lot of different cover crop mixes, and those are the farmers, our cooperators, they work with NRCS, and they come up with a mixture that they like or may work for them. So in terms of measurement, we've been measuring soil water content before planting the cash crop, before planting the cover crop, and infiltration rate. We're doing the traditional soil test analysis, micronutrients, cation exchange capacity, organic matter, pH, etc. Haney, some of you might be familiar with the Haney soil test, soil microbial community with PLFA, phospholipid fatty acid. In terms of plants, we measure the canopy and ground cover with the line transect method. We measure the plant biomass, and we measure cash crop yield and quality. Also, we keep track of costs and returns. We have an economist who is doing the economic analysis, but I'm not going to present that today. So these are some of the results. This is one of the experiments at the research center. So mixed cover crop mix here is this one here. You see some weeds. It only has legumes, yellow sweet clover, hairy vetch, and winter pea, or Austrian pea. Mix number two has the same legumes plus winter rye, or cereal rye. Mix number three has the same thing plus two brassicas, winter turnip and winter canola. So these are the seeding rates here, 29, 35, 28 pounds per acre. In terms of biomass in pounds of dry matter per acre, you see it varied from about 4,000 to 5,000 pounds per acre. And the difference was not significant. So in terms of canopy cover, it was 89% in all three mixes, of which cover crop had 54 to 67%, no significant differences. Volunteer wheat was higher where we didn't have any cereals, we only had legumes, so it was 35% of the canopy. In the other two mixes, it was 26 and 20%. You see, there's a lot of variation here, 39% CV, but the differences were significant. Okay, I'm just showing you a few from the farmers' fields. One of the farmers here, very interested in cover crops in San Juan, Utah. So what he did, he came up with the NRC, they came up with this mix here. It has 10 species, has three legumes, winter peas, yellow sweet clover, bersim clover, teff, several grasses, teff, sorghum, Sudan grass, proso millet, and then brassicas, nitro radish, purple top, turnip, and others, sunflower, other broadleaf sunflower, and buckwheat. So he planted those on, he harvested wheat on July 24th. 5 days later, he planted the cover crop. So on October 29th, we measured the biomass and we did the line transect. And so in the fall, on October 29th, the biomass was 966 pounds per acre. When we measured again on, I think it was June 9th or 8th or 9th, it was 1,527. What happened here, in March, he decided he wanted to terminate the cover crop because he had some weed problems. So he sprayed the cover crops, and then he planted this mix here, spring peas, spring oats, barley, rapeseed, safflower, and flax. But the biomass from the spring, he planted on April 2nd. And then terminated on June 10th. So he had two cover crops in the same growing season, yes. Okay. So most of the biomass in the spring on June 9th, 1,527 pounds, really actually came from the turnip and the yellow sweet clover that overwintered and he couldn't kill with the herbicide application. So that was an interesting situation. I told him probably shouldn't plant in the spring to cover crops, but he did. Okay, so in terms of soil data, at the research center, the moisture in the top 3 feet, you see here the cover crop. This is in gravimetric by weight, 12.5%, the fallow 17.8%, and there was more moisture below 3 feet. So there was more, significantly more moisture in the fallow treatment than in the cover crop treatment. The same thing with nitrate and nitrogen, significantly more nitrate. This is before planting the cash crop in the fallow treatment than in the cover crop treatment. Yield also was significantly higher in the fallow treatment than in the cover crop treatment, as was the grain protein. At the farmer's field, this is all only in the top 2 feet. Again, the fallow had more moisture at cash crop planting, more nitrate, nitrogen, and the wheat was higher, although what we had replications, it was not significant. It was 6 to 7 bushels per acre advantage to fallow compared to cover crops. So we tried a lot of different mixes, and some of them we replicated at the research center and the more controlled conditions. So we had like here four planted cover crops and 3 planted cover crops. They all have legumes, grasses, and some brassicas. So at the research center, the trial number 2, the 4 planted cover crops, there was no significant difference among those mixes. The biomass was a little over 3,400 pounds per acre. For the spring planted cover crops, it was a lot less, 713. The difference was, of course, highly significant. We looked at the contribution of cereals, legumes, brassicas for the spring cover crops. So the 4 planted cover crops, there was a lot of volunteer wheat, because we harvested the wheat, I think it was around July 28th, I think. And then we planted the cover crops on August 11th. So we really didn't have enough time to control the volunteer wheat. I mean, volunteer wheat is a cover crop in a way, but it can harbor insects, Russian wheat aphids, Western bean cutworms, so it's not good to leave it in there. So in terms of contribution for the spring planted cover crops, 50% was from the cereals, 40% from the legumes, 2% from the brassicas. So in terms of soil moisture and nitrate nitrogen, again, it was in September, before planting the cash crop, it was quite a bit more moisture in the fallow treatment. This was with conservation tillage and no-till than when we had cover crops. And the same thing with nitrate nitrogen. Significantly more nitrate nitrogen in the fallow treatment than in the cover crop treatment. So, in conclusions, so this is only 2 years of data, so there is a lot of variability in our year from year to year. And we only had 3 trials where we had the full crop rotation, like wheat fallow rotation. And again, we have a very unique environment, and there was zero research data on cover crops before this project, so we're still learning. So it's really too early to draw conclusions, but the results to date are not in favor of cover crops in dryland farming in southwestern Colorado and southeastern Utah. So the cover crops depleted soil moisture and nitrogen. So the question, well, do we add nitrogen? Maybe that's the next thing we're going to do. Do you add nitrogen? But it's going to add to the cost. Is it economical? So cover crops depressed yields. We have a lot more data. I just don't have time to show it. There are some good things in the longer terms. I think they're going to happen, but I don't have time. So fall planting produces more biomass than spring planting. That's very, very clear. There is, there is this notion that the more species you put in the mixture, the better, but I don't think it's true in our area. We're now doing fewer and fewer species because some of them are not really adapted to our area. They add to the cost. Management is very important. When you plant cover crops, when you terminate cover crops, etc., etc. So I think I'll just stop here. Thank you. There is a website that you can, there's a lot of information on the website that you can check out.
All right, thank you.